There are 17,500 people in the New York Police Department's gang database. Whether or not Victor Dempsey is on there is something we can't know for sure. But the NYPD does want to make one thing clear.
First, in New York, we don't call it a gang database.
That's Chief Terrence Monahan, New York Police Department's chief of department.
It's a criminal group database. It's a listing of people who associate together that engage in criminal activity. So it could be part of a gang, it could be part of a crew, it could just be a team of people that we know are organized together committing crimes. So it is a source of intelligence for us.
I talk with Chief Monahan to see how the database works and to press him on the concerns that people have about issues around privacy and its secrecy.
Well, the vast majority of them that are in the database are self-admitted. Someone that we've interviewed and said, yes, I'm part of this gang, I'm part of this crew. One of the other ways that we look at is if we have two separate reliable sources who say that an individual is part of a certain gang or crew. Besides that, we look at various other things that in conjunction, you know, you need two or more of these to kind of lead us to believe that you're in a database. That's if you frequent gang locations on social media, you're posting about being in a gang. Possession of gang-related documents, tattoos, identifying yourself as a member of a gang. Frequently wearing the colors, being seen making gang signs, certain symbols that are representative of certain gangs. If we have a combination of these sort of things, that can then put you into the database, the criminal group database.
And so the concern is, if I get into the database, I may not know that I'm in the database, right?
That's correct.
So how come I don't know if I'm in it?
Again, this is an intelligence gathering thing that we do. It's not for enforcement purposes. There is no negative aspect to you for being in this gang database. You can't be stopped because you're in a gang database. You can't be arrested because you're in a gang database or a criminal group database. It is just information for us so that we can determine what's going on in the streets. I can give you an example.
Sure.
We had shootings up in University Heights in the Bronx. Four people were shot. And that area is known to us and some of the people in the database as members of the Two Fly Crew. And now we know, based on that, that Two Fly Crew has a historic violence with a group from Mott Haven, the Mott Haven YGs. And it goes back to when a guy, Junta Perez, was killed back in 2012. Junta Perez was a leader of the YGs, and it's believed he was killed by someone up in the University Heights area. This shooting occurred on the anniversary of his death. So taking all that into things, we know now probably where to focus our investigatory angles.
So it makes sense that you would want your officers to be very specific, right, not wasting a lot of time. So having a clear direction in which to go would obviously make sense. But some of the concerns that we're also hearing are that people who are under the age of 18 could end up in these databases.
When we look at the our database right now, the criminal group, the average age of anyone in there is 27 years old. When we looked at anyone underneath the age of 18, there was less than 2.5% of them. So 430 out of the current 17,500 that are in the database. So the majority, the vast majority, 97.5%, are over the age of 18.
We spoke today to a gentleman named Victor Dempsey, and Victor's a community liaison with the Legal Aid Society. He's also a formerly incarcerated individual. He says he believes he is on the gang database, and he said that, you know, during a routine traffic stop, he thinks that he was treated differently, but I want to play you a clip from what he's had to say.
So he escorts me to his cruiser, places me in the back of his cruiser. He did not sit me on the side of the curb. He did not place me to stand by the trunk of the car. I'm in his cruiser in handcuffs for a routine traffic stop. At the bottom of his monitor, there was a picture of me. And in like little red letters, it said SRG, Security Risk Group.
So this is something Victor told us happened after he was stopped. I wasn't there. We didn't see it for ourselves, but want to bring it up because he's bringing that up as a concern.
Yeah, SRG stands for Strategic Response Group. It's most likely where those officers were assigned to.
So it had nothing to do with him specifically?
No, they probably just ran a license check on him. I don't know the whole circumstances of this stop, but SRG, I can tell you, stands for Strategic Response Group, which is the unit that police officer was assigned to.
So Is there a question about due process in this database? Let's say, for example, I end up in the database, right? And I don't, and I'm not aware that I'm in the database. Is there any way that I can find out that I'm on it? Is there any way that I can get off of it if I find out that I'm on it?
No. At this point, again, it's an intelligence gathering thing. Not because you're in the database are you going to be looked at, but if you're in that database, there's a chance that you may be part of an ongoing case where we know that you're involved in some sort of activity. So it isn't like we look at someone, oh, you're in a gang member, we're going to round them up. No, this is focused. Precision policing at its best. We want those individuals, the small number of individuals that are trigger pullers, we want to be able to identify them and prosecute them.
I guess the big question that comes up with this type of technology is what happens if I don't know I'm on it, right? Like if I don't know I'm in this database, and what if this data is then shared with other agencies or other databases? Is that happening?
This is an internal database. It is shared with no one. We don't share it with prosecutors. We don't share it with any federal authorities. We don't share it with housing authorities. And the only time you're going to get prosecuted is if you commit a crime. So if somehow you ended up on this database and you're not committing crimes, you're never going to have any effect. We're very precise at what we want to do, how we get people into this. We want to be right. We want to make sure that, you know, we're getting good information. You know, garbage in, garbage out is the old technology. So we want to make sure that we have the right thing. So we go through a real, real checklist before you can make it into the system.
Before you can even get into the system. Because sometimes you can say, well, you know, I mean, I grew up in a community that I think would be considered sort of low income. And, you know, I think there's a sense that people might even feel that they're being surveilled, or they'll just feel like if I see my friend, you know, who is in the gang, and I take a quick picture with them or her, then suddenly I'm going to end up in this database, and I had nothing to do with that.
Right? No, again, it takes a lot more. And if you look at who's in our database, out of the individuals in there, 17,500 murders have been committed by the people that are within this database, 18,000 robberies. The average person, 90% of them have been arrested at least once for a felony, and the average person in the database has 11 arrests, 5 of which are felonies. So for the normal person who doesn't commit crime, who isn't a criminal, they have nothing to worry about. We are not doing any mass looking at everybody. If we're looking at someone, it's because we have information, and it's focused, and it's precision, it's precise on who we're looking at and who we have to go after. And those are the people that are involved in violence. I mean, just take a look at this city and how it's working. 1990, 2,240 homicides. Last year, 289. And we're doing it with a lot less arrest. We're not arresting as many people. So that's our focus in this criminal group.
Chief Terrence Monahan is New York Police Department's chief of department.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.